I'm so thankful you're singing with us, you know.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. I don't know if all of you knew that. So I was picking out my shirt this morning in God's providence. Lori said, wear the red one and not the green one. And so here I am. I've got my red on for Pentecost Sunday. So welcome this morning. We're glad that you came out for worship. What a beautiful morning, right, to just come out and to praise the Lord for his goodness. He gave us some rain this week and some sunshine to nourish the earth for us. Just a few announcements. So we will have Bible study tomorrow beginning at Joshua chapter 20, which talks about the cities of refuge. And so it should be a good discussion about what those cities were meant for, used for, and pointed towards tomorrow. Joshua chapter 20, the cities of refuge. Next council meeting's next week. So reports due by Wednesday this week. If you could get those in, that would be great. Again, your financials are just run your financials through May 31st. We're going to meet for prayer on June 16th and June 30th at 6:30 across the street. We'd love to have more people coming out for that. It's just a great time to get together, not just to have some fellowship, but to learn more about prayer and to take some time to pray for our nation, to pray for our church, to pray for some of the concerns that we have personally. So we'd love to have more people coming out to help that group grow and flourish. Don't forget, Homecoming Memorial Sunday, put June 19th on your calendar. We'll be here, hopefully with a packed crowd, and have a fellowship lunch afterwards. Bring your favorite side dish. The church, again, will provide fried chicken and drinks. Harry gave a great report this morning in Sunday school about the love packages who were trying to raise, they had a $40,000 donation, and they could, if they could match it, the person would give them the full $40,000. And so they put out a call, and they raised $106,000. And so they bought 225,000 Bibles that they're going to start to ship out to various places in the world. So praise the Lord for the work that's going on there. One other announcement here. Bob handed me this. There's a spiritual warfare conference going on in Inwood on July 16th, that's a Saturday. They do hold this conference every once a year with the Church Assembly of God, and this one's going to be in Inwood. So I'll put this in the back if anybody wants to look at that and see what's going on, and the dates, again, it's July 16th. And they've got quite a few speakers there that day. For our prayer list, Galen's sister Scarlett was diagnosed with COVID. She's home. She has COPD, but she's not on oxygen, so that's all really great news. She's doing okay, but just to be lifting up Scarlett this week, that she'd be able to recover quickly from COVID. The good news for Dwight Selden, he had COVID. He's over it now, and he's off quarantine. Still feeling a little bit tired, so continue to pray for Dwight. Baby Logan got his report. The tumor is unchanged, but the doctor's advice is still to wait for surgery. The twins are not quite a year old. They'll be 1 year old June 21st, and so we're not sure if the doctor's waiting till after they're one or what, but the doctor's advice right now is to continue to wait since the tumor is not growing or shrinking. Marie Spade had her defibrillator / heart monitor installed this week, and she's actually feeling pretty good, and she's been out. So just continue to lift her up as she heals from that and pray that that new equipment she has on board will just take care of any problems. You might have heard my son Seth did make it to Tucson. Last week we talked about the car being broke down, and turns out it was a ladybug that had crawled into the mass airflow sensor and gotten fried. So we spent a lot of time researching that and finally found out it was just something so simple. Anyhow, so that was huge news, and of course he made it out there safely. The good news was he was a one-day delayed, and so we really do feel like that kept him out of some storms that were coming through Wichita. They had like golf ball sized hail and were smashing windows, and so he ended up not being in that area that day. So that was a huge blessing. Is there any other announcements or prayer things that didn't make the bulletin? Okay, well, before the call to worship, I just wanted to remind us that it is Pentecost Sunday. And you know, Pentecost changed the character of the church. If you remember the disciples, they were really quite a fearful bunch, even after the resurrection and the ascension, and they were often meeting together in closed rooms. And yet we read in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then at the end of chapter 2, it says, With many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. In the very last part, it says, "Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." All began, right? The New Testament church begins. And part of that beginning is the day of Pentecost, where they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, we're still benefits of that, right? We're still filled now with the Holy Spirit who continues to grow the church piece by piece, day by day, person by person, soul by soul. And so we too should remember that as we come to worship the Lord today. The day of Pentecost is a great day for the church. So let's stand together as the Lord calls us to worship. We know we can worship Him in spirit and truth. Hear the Lord's call. "Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." Let's pray. Lord, we do come into your presence mindful that you have given us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that helps us come into your presence and praise you rightly, truthfully, honestly, cheerfully, joyfully. And so as we come into your presence, we too declare that you reign. Accept our worship. In the name of Jesus, amen. We'll take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 400. Again, as we talk about Pentecost, we will be singing here about Pentecostal power. Number 400. Thank you. to take your seat, but keep your hymnal and turn in the very back of your hymnal to number 587. That's a responsive reading. 587 in the very back. And this is from Matthew 25, 31 to 46. You'll recognize it. There is a coming day of judgment and reward. A reward for those that have done good, and judgment on those that have done evil. And so I'll start by reading the non-bolded part, and you can respond reading the bold part. I'll probably read along with the bold part too, just to keep us in unison, but you can read the bold part as well. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. You know, the Lord does call us to be people of good works, to have a godly character that seeks the blessing of those around us. And there will be a reward for that. And we'll see how Mordecai deals with that here in a little while as we turn to Esther chapter 10. Well, as we turn to a time of prayer, it's a reminder that the throne room of heaven is open. Right, the temple curtain that separated the Holy of Holies has been torn in two through the sacrifice of Christ, allowing us to come into the presence of the Lord and lay our requests before Him. And so as we go, let's pray. Let's pray for a unity to come to our country. Well, let's pray for those that still need healing. Let's praise the Lord for those that are improving. Maybe you'll notice here on our prayer list that Lucas Lewis is off the ventilator and improving. So he was the one that had pneumococcal pneumonia, and he's actually getting better. And that's a huge answer to our prayers. That's a huge answer that Marie Spade has had a good result. And so we know that the Lord is at work. And so let's go to the Lord and ask for more, because He's generous and He pours out the storehouses of heaven for us. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into Your presence, it's so great to be reminded that the throne room is open, always open. The curtain will never be replaced. The doors will never be shut. You'll never be asleep. We'll never have to wonder whether You hear us. We know that You do. We know that you're ready and willing and able to act on the behalf of your people. And so as we come into your presence, Lord, we praise you for these answers. Now, the answer for Luke, the answer for Marie, Lord, you're so gracious. Or we even think of baby Logan, whose tumor has not grown. We know it hasn't diminished, but Lord, you are carrying him along, preparing him for this future surgery, giving the doctor wisdom to know what to do, exactly what we've been asking for. And so, Lord, we acknowledge these answers are yours, and we thank you for them. It encourages us and emboldens us to ask for more, and so we bring Scarlett before you, and we ask that she would be healed of this COVID quickly, that she wouldn't have any complications. Lord, we put her into your hand, knowing that you're able and that you're trustworthy. Lord, we think of Jack and Marlene and their continued pain, and we just, again, put them into your hand and pray that you would work and work quickly to get these procedures done that need to be accomplished. Lord, we pray for the healing of Marlene's legs and for the upcoming chemo treatments for Jack. Let them be effective, Lord. Lord, we think of our world that is full of suffering and evil and signs of the fall. Now, we see it in mass murders, Lord. We see it in wars. We see it even closer to home in broken families and relationships that are torn apart by greed and pride and self-centeredness. Lord, it's everywhere. We need the Pentecostal power of your Spirit to come, Lord, and heal us. Heal us individually. Heal us in our families. Heal us in the church. Heal our state and our country. Heal the world, Lord. We can't do it. We can't look outside of ourselves without the indwelling of your Holy Spirit that gives us the power to see what is right. And so we ask for that power to come. You are the great missionary. And so we pray that you would send out your Spirit in a mighty way, drawing many to you, that there would be unity, but not some distant unity, Lord. We pray that that unity would start here and that it would be seen here in Hampshire County, and so that it would be winsome and inviting. And those that hunger for unity would be drawn to it, changed by it, encouraged to not just know you and worship you, but to draw others to you as well. Lord, in all these things, we know that you listen, but sometimes your timing seems to take longer than we would like. And so, Lord, as these shootings continue in our country, as the brokenness of our young people takes over the news feeds, as our leaders, Lord, seem to be at a loss to get at the root problems, we would ask for you to send wisdom and to send truth and to send understanding in a way that puts us on a track where healing could actually be possible. Lord, we admit that we are faint of heart when it comes to being bold. We're faint of heart when it comes to speaking the truth in love. And so we pray that you would help us to be a people that speaks truth, that speaks it in a winsome way, and that turns people to the truth, because only the truth will set us free. And all these things, we wait upon you, Lord. We ask you to be gracious to us. We don't deserve these answers. We don't deserve the blessing. We don't deserve your never-ending love, and yet you have promised it to us. And so we ask that you would send it to us now, so that we would grow in our knowledge of you and our ability to share you with others, so that they too would know the peace of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to 506 as we can continue our prayer time, in a sense, singing this hymn that Jesus would open our eyes that we would see, so that we would have the chance to share Christ with others, that their eyes would be open too. So let's remain seated and sing 506. As you pray that, you will have a heart, you will have ears, you'll have a mind that's open to the Lord's leading. Well, as I ask the men to come forward for our morning's offering, I want to read you Proverbs 18, verse 16, where it says, "A gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great." Now, you may not know what good you do when you give, but you can know today that there is a much power in your giving, in your tithes and your offerings. Even God here in Proverbs is aware that your gift opens doors. It opens doors for those around you. It opens doors for you as well. It pushes you, as one person wrote, it pushes you to the presence of the Almighty. So give cheerfully, not reluctantly, and know that you will be blessed bountifully. So ushers, please come and accept our offering this morning. Let's stand together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Lord, we lay this gift before you that it would open doors for the gospel here and afar, that the gospel would go forth with power and not come back empty and void. That's your promise. We ask for you to use this to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hopefully you're beginning to see a theme in today's worship service. We should be praying for the Holy Spirit to come and to do His work. He's here amongst us, indwelling each of us. We need to see His power, know His power, live in His power, worship His power. Well, take your Bibles and turn to page 490 in the Pew Bible. If you're using your own Bible, then hopefully you've got the book of Esther marked since we've been there for a number of weeks. Today is our last day in the book of Esther. Esther chapter 10, there's only three verses. How am I going to preach for 30 minutes with just three verses? Well, I found a way. So, buckle up. I just wanted to start with just a little recap, just to remind us of some of the things that we've seen in the book of Esther. And one big theme that plays out here at the very end and is also seen in the beginning is that character matters. Right? Character matters. God cares about who you are as a person and what you're doing in His kingdom. That's one big theme. Another major theme is that God is in charge, right? God is sovereignly working in all of this book, all of these things that happened, even though we don't hear His name written. Now, the reason for that was probably so that His book wouldn't be banned in the Persian Empire. But He doesn't mention the name God, but God is everywhere there. All the Jews know it's God doing these things. Well, God is in charge, not King Xerxes. We learn that right is always right. It's always good to do good. Right? It's always okay to do the right thing. We learn that God will not exalt the proud, but the proud will be brought to their end, and that end is destruction. We learn that God is always at work, despite how persecution looks, despite how bad things seem to be. We've learned that you can mourn and fast when things look bad, but know as you're mourning and fasting in front of a God who sees and works. God is always at work. We learn that you must act. You can't sit on the sidelines, right? God has you here in this time, in this place, for a certain purpose, right? Now, you have to trust in God's timing. Maybe He doesn't want you to act today. Maybe He wants you to wait till tomorrow. You've got to be in tune with God. We learn that there's no coincidences, though. Right? It's not like if you did something today instead of tomorrow, like, oh no, now you've messed everything up. There's no coincidences. The thread of purpose that God has for you and for the church and for the world is woven throughout your entire tapestry of life and the lives of those around you. And those are intertwined and they're beautiful. Right? We learn that God sees all and He's going to deal with all. And He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy in dealing with it. He's patient. Yes, patient even with the wicked. Right? But He will deal with sin and sinners. We learn to, and I thought this was a good one, to overcome the irrevocable edict, you have to have the right king. Right? That's what Jesus did, right? He overcame the irrevocable edict of death for sin. So now there's a new edict, and that's the gospel. And we saw that here in the book of Esther. Again, we learn that God reigns over all, meaning His justice will prevail. Again, even though persecution or things going around you might make you think otherwise, justice will prevail. And so the time to repent is now. Don't wait. The time to repent is now. Life is short at its longest. We learned last week that you have to guard against spiritual amnesia so that you can guard against despair when persecution and trials come, because they will. But when you have a spiritual memory that remembers the times God has worked, you'll have the ability to stand firm in the gospel. And today we're going to learn that using power rightly is God's call for our lives. That each of us is given power and authority and influence in certain areas. We all have those. That means we have power, right? We should be using that power rightly. So we should be using that power to work for the good of the kingdom. And that means the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. Right, blessing those around us now while pointing them to what is awaiting them in the future. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that we would see Jesus in this last part of Esther. See him at work for us. See his willingness to bless us. See his desire for us to take that blessing and bless those around us. Turn us from our inward view of life to an outward view towards others. Help us to be less self-centered, Lord, and more gospel-centered as we seek to serve you, using our power rightly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you know this. I didn't. And between 1900 and 1905, San Francisco was hit with the plague. That's right, the bubonic plague. Right? It claimed a number of victims in those 5 years in San Francisco. And part of the reason for it taking so long to deal with and kind of get rid of was the government out there and back in Washington and some high-ranking businessmen out in San Francisco. They perpetrated a widespread cover-up and smear campaign. And they did that against the head of the public health department. His name was Dr. Joseph, I think it's pronounced Kinyoon. They smeared him. Now, he was the physician who first confirmed the presence of the plague in San Francisco. Now, there had been some plague cases around the country, mostly in port ships, and so they would sequester those ships offshore, and they never made it to land, except for here in San Francisco. And, you know, they were smearing this poor doctor. They basically got him kicked out of office. Now, after they forced him out, another doctor came in. And the only difference really between these two doctors was the second doctor was more adept at dealing with the political side of things. He was, you know, he was able to handle the government and the businessmen. And he was finally able to convince the city as he furthered along Dr. Quinone's research that they had to deal with this problem. They absolutely had to deal with this problem. And in the end, they basically saved San Francisco. They kept the disease from spreading and kept it at bay. Now, they did this as part of the public health system, right? I mean, after all, that's the purpose of the public health system, right? Their purpose is to protect the people. And that's what we see here in Esther chapter 10, where Mordecai now is in a high position. Only, you know, the only person above him is the king. And what's Mordecai's purpose there? His purpose there is to bless those around him. So let's hear the word of the Lord here. It is sufficient for us. It's trustworthy. It's without error. So hear it this morning. King Ahasuerus imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea. And all the acts of his power and might and the full account of the high honor of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. All power is grounded in the Lord Almighty. Let's not forget that. We see that here in Esther. And because all power is ultimately grounded in the Lord's sovereign authority over all of creation, then when you know the Lord, right? And if you don't, you should still do this. You should use your power to be a blessing to those around you. You should use your power to be a blessing to those around you. And as the book of Esther closes, that's what we see Mordecai doing. He's blessing, and I want you to hear this, he's blessing his people, and he's being a blessing to the empire. Right? He's blessing the empire and his people. And he does this by using the power granted to him by this earthly king in a way that most men don't. Right? Mordecai is no Haman. Now, at first glance in this passage, it seems like the king has turned from having two hands on a sword each, right, ready for war, to having one hand holding a sword, maybe behind his back, and the other one holding out a collection plate for taxes. Now, that might seem a strange way to start this passage, but some commentators wonder if Mordecai might have actually been behind this kind of change in the king. In some sense, maybe Mordecai is showing him a better way than war to raise money, to become prosperous. You see, before in the kingdom, power and wealth was gained by conquest and plunder. Kill your enemies or beat them into submission, take their wealth, bring it into the kingdom, and then move on. But that's not really a great recipe for long-term prosperity, right? Because for long-term prosperity, you need to have peace, not war. So maybe Mordecai showed the king this better way, taxes. Taxes are better. Now, I'm not sure if we'll ever know for sure, but we are told that Mordecai spoke peace to all his people. Mordecai wanted to get this war thing over. Now, as much as when we hear the word taxes, we don't like that, let's admit they are a more peaceful way to raise money than war, especially if that's your only two choices. And this opportunity for peace, it's actually a great opportunity for the Jewish people to prosper. Now, that's the whole idea of a good tax structure. Make it so the people can prosper, and as the people prosper, you will see your tax revenue increase as businesses grow. Now, right here, we could turn the sermon into a rant, couldn't we? Well, we're not going to, because this passage is not about taxes. But I wanted to see that, you know, that Mordecai is working here in the empire to make the empire better. And in making the empire better, he makes it better for his people. It's peace and prosperity that he's after. This passage, though, isn't really about taxes. Now look at the last part of verse 3. It says, he, that's Mordecai, right, he sought the welfare of his people. That word welfare, it means the condition of prospering in life. The condition of prospering in life. He's making it possible for his people and the empire in general to find prosperity in life. That's going to look different in every culture. It's going to look different. It may look different even in various families, but that's the idea here. That God is calling us to use our power to bless others around us so that they can prosper. And when it's grounded in glorifying God's name, prospering will make a difference in the world. It will. It's not that it might. Right? When it's grounded in glorifying God's name, prospering, blessing people will make a difference in the world. It'll make a difference in you, right? Especially when you see your prospering coming from the Lord's hand. You know, when you see your own blessing coming from the Lord, it should give you open hands, not closed hands. Not holding on to your things so tightly, but open with them. Because God's economy doesn't work like the world's economy. God says, give, and he will give back to you. He says, work for the kingdom, and you will be blessed. He says, keep your things on eternal things, and your treasure will be in heaven. And your treasure in heaven will be great. And at the same time, you will find fulfillment here on earth. I wonder how many people, they lack fulfillment because they have closed hands. They're not free. They're not open. They're not a blessing to those around them. Proverbs 11, verse 25 and 26 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Even there, it doesn't say he gives it away, but he sells his grain at a fair price, and he receives a blessing for that. In 2 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 6, it says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That you would be a person of character, abounding in good works. And what is that good work but to bless those around you. Now, it's easy to think that that passage is just about money, right? It's just about tithes, but you could be sowing the seed of the word, right? And seeing an abundant harvest of souls being saved. You could be counseling your neighbor and seeing them find real change in their life, positive change. You could be doing something as simple as encouraging others around you, sending them cards in the mail, calling them on the phone to see if they're okay, helping them mow their grass, right? You could be doing those things. You know, you might never even find out the impact you have as you're trying to be a blessing to those around you. I heard on the radio of a man this week who buys coffee for the person behind him in the line every day he drives through. Always, every day, without stop. Never hears from anyone. Never gets a horn honked. Never hears the teller say anything. One day on Facebook, though, he reads on a post on a local page, you know, for his town. And it was from a person who was in line to get coffee that morning. He was planning on committing suicide later that day. But then the person in front of him paid for his coffee. So he changed his mind. That's what he put in his post. I mean, you might never know the impact you have as you try to be a blessing to those around you. I want you to be changed not just by this passage, but by the book of Esther. And here we see Mordecai, his whole focus is to be a blessing. Where do you have power or influence or authority, you know, in your family, in your workplace, you know, with your neighbors, in your world? Who knows where your influence is? You do. How are you using that influence and power and authority with your spouse, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your grown children? You know, how are you using that power and authority? Do you believe that you will be blessed when you give yourself over to be a blessing to others? Do you believe that? Or do you have your fists closed with the stuff you have? You know, I also heard a story this past week. It's a guy who he left his high-paying job. It was a family business, so it was very difficult to leave that. It caused a lot of strife in the family, but he left this high-paying job, six figures, I believe, or more, to take up this nonprofit. His name's Luke Mickelson. Now, the nonprofit that he started or that he left to run is they make bunk beds for kids. That's all they do. One thing. They find someone who doesn't have a bed, and they make them a bed out of wood. You can hear more about this nonprofit by going to shpbeds.org. It's Sleep and Heavenly Peace beds.org. And anyhow, in the course of the conversation, well, let me just say, he was talking, he shared some stories. He's talking about 16-year-old kids who've never had a bed. Never slept in a bed. Never had a bed. So they're making beds for kids like that. You know, not all 16-year-olds. Sometimes they're 4 years old. But anyhow, just a real blessing to hear him speak about this. Anyhow, in the course of the conversation, this idea of paying people to do nonprofit work came up. And in case you didn't know it, there's lots of thoughts out there amongst different people that you shouldn't be paying people to do nonprofit work. They should just be doing it for free. Well, you know what that means. That means they have to have a full-time job. And this is, ends up being like a side job. And so they brought in a speaker one time. And the speaker changed his mind that they should be paying people to do this nonprofit work. Because the speaker said this. He said, would you rather pay a part-time person like $3,000 a year to make maybe 300 beds? That's $10 a bed. He said, or would you rather pay them $100,000 a year to work full-time where maybe they can make 300,000 beds? That's 33 cents a bed, by the way. He says, you know, you're paying them so that they can put their whole focus into that nonprofit organization and make it bigger, larger, and have more and more influence. And so that's what they've done, and they're like all over the world now and more than just this country. So, yes, you're paying them more, but their ability to give their full focus is greater, right? Now here's the great part for us. We don't have to start a nonprofit. We don't have to leave our full-time jobs or retirement or, you know, whatever it is you're doing, farming, you know, whatever it is you're doing, working for the Raritan. You don't have to leave those things, right? You can be a Mordecai. You can be a blessing to those around you right where you are. Because where you are right now, I guarantee you, you have power and influence and, and authority in lots of people's lives. Right? Now, maybe not all three. Maybe you just have influence and not authority in your neighbor's life, but you have influence. You don't have to leave here, leave where you are to be a blessing to those around you. Of course, you may never know how long it'll take for you to see that blessing have fruit. This Dr. Quinone is forced out of office when he refused to play down the outbreak of the plague, never got to go back into his laboratory that he had formed. Right? Listen, he is the founder of what we now call the NIH, National Institute of Health. And for a number of years, right, we're talking like 1900s, you know, no one talked about him because he was forced out in shame. Right? But in 2012, when the NIH celebrated its 125th birthday, they acknowledged that they were indebted to his initial research and expertise. He really is, right, the founding father of the NIH. Now, I've never heard of the bubonic plague being in San Francisco, right? But we've all heard of the NIH, right? Do you know in our passage here there was another book mentioned? It was the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia. Have you ever heard of that book? Have you read that book? I've never read that book. And for a little while, I thought maybe it didn't even exist anymore, but I think you can find it somewhere if you want to read it. But listen, the Bible has remained on the New York Times bestseller list since 1953. And the Bible was actually a bestseller long before that list even came out. And my point is that Mordecai is more famous than Xerxes, right? No one's here has read of the kings of the Medes and Persia, but we've all read Esther. And Mordecai is celebrated every year in the lives of Jews today. Christians still read about him. And when we read about him, we find that he's a blessing. You find that as God reigns in his life, Mordecai is a blessing. Now, even when we think the world is turned upside down by wicked men and wicked women, even when there's rumors of food shortages or brownouts all summer, even if the established government offices seem bent on coming up with their own narrative on things instead of the truth, even when deranged people are murdering innocent people, none of this is a surprise to God. Right? None of that is a surprise. He will sovereignly rule over that, like he did here in Persia. Right? When Jesus came to earth, when wicked men plotted against him, right, to take away his influence, to murder him on the cross, right? Even then, God was sovereignly ruling over their wicked intentions and bringing about the salvation of many. God is at work, even when all seems lost. He's bringing about the salvation of the disciples. He's bringing about the salvation of those who came to know Jesus through the ministry of the apostles. He's bringing about your salvation at the cross, the salvation of your parents, your children, your fellow church members, anyone that was saved or is saved or is going to be saved. The book of Esther, as we close it, is really a reminder that we should always look at the kingdom of God with eyes that are full, right? We should see the glass as full, not half empty, and I would say to you, not even half full. We should see the glass as completely full. Because Jesus said, it is finished. And when he said that, he meant it. Right? When we look at the cross, you know, we often focus on just the idea of salvation. But, and that's wonderful, but at the cross, evil was dealt with. Right? Dealt a death blow. Right? We will have full victory. Right? The victory that evil wants to win, it's over. It's done with. They will never win. Jesus made sure of that. And so now, because we have the victory, we have this God-given call to be Christians of character. Christians that take the victory of Jesus to the streets. Right? And to be bold, fight for the welfare of your country, the welfare of your family, the welfare of the kingdom of God, the prosperity of life that we see here. So as you leave today, as we finish up Esther, I want you to go with the power of the Spirit. Right? It's Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you. You're filled with that Pentecostal power now. So be ministers of the gospel. That's what God's calling you to do. That's where you can be a blessing. Speak of the peace of the gospel to everyone you get a chance to. Work towards having opportunity, right, to have those conversations. The power of the cross is not limited to only our future salvation, but applies to the work of the kingdom today, the work of the kingdom now. Each of us has power and influence and authority. And where we have that, we should be speaking the truth in love, the truth of the gospel, so that people could be blessed, so that they could be prosperous, and so that we could prosper with them. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask you to make us a blessing. Make us a blessing by sharing the gospel, because in the gospel we find prosperity. We find truth and love and mercy. We find eternal life that can never be taken away or diminished. And so, Lord, we ask that you would encourage us, just through the book of Esther, to be mindful that no matter how things look, you are sovereignly working to bless your people, that your people would be a blessing to the world. Help us to be that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take your hymnals now and turn to hymn number 289. As we go to leave this place, we'll have to be a blessing, and the only way to do that is to trust in Jesus. So let's stand together and sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," 289.
Thank you.
as you go out of this place today, trust in the Lord to make you a blessing, and then look for those opportunities that you would walk in them. Hear his benediction. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen.